All right, folks, we're back with the second half of the Fantasy Domination Podcast. I'm here with the coach, as always. When now it's time, like we do in the second half of all our shows, depending on how much we yammered on in the first half, we're going to go through all the games of the week and talk about what we're looking for in those games and what might be our game of the week in terms of fantasy performance. But I'd like to start off with a good one, coach, but I'm not going to, because the first game listed for me is going to be a terrible one. It's the 2-7 New York Jets visiting the 1-8 Washington Professional Footballers. This game is going to be terrible. It's like the only thing I'm looking forward to in this game is maybe starting Terry McLaurin and seeing him maybe get back to thing. But Dwayne Haskins is starting for the rest of the year now, so God knows what that's going to result in. Washington may run the ball 500 times in this game, and that's it. And the Jets are just not good.
If you're in a pinch, maybe Adrian Peterson's worth playing. Otherwise, this might be the game where we get a look at Darius Geis and start to figure out if he's actually worth rostering for the rest of the season and into next year.
Mm-hmm. All right. The next one should be very good. Kind of looking forward to this one. 7-2 New Orleans visiting the 3-6 Tampa Bay Buccaneers. The only thing I don't like in this game is if you got Kamara or Latavius Murray, because one thing about Tampa, they stop the run pretty well, because everyone's just going to pass them because the pass defense is terrible.
Which is outstanding if you have anyone in the Saints passing game.
Michael Thomas may get 20 catches for 300 yards in this game.
I would love to see that. Even with the running back issues, I still think this is an all hands on deck. Play your Saints, play your Bucks. This one should be fun.
Yeah, I like it. I've got some shares of Alvin Kamara. I can't not throw him on there. But Denver 3-6 traveling to 7-3 Minnesota. Not really lacking this one all that much.
I'm not loving it. I think the Broncos are not good, but they're a sneaky jump up and hurt you. Mm-hmm. But Vikings, this is one of those, they got to win it. I think they'll be motivated. I think they're going to do well, maybe not blow you away, but I see this as a fairly low scoring, unexciting game maybe in the end. Mm-hmm. By the way, can I just point out, I'm just looking at ESPN here and Vivid Seats, they've got linked in the games.
I think we got a tickets fight breaking out. We got a fight breaking out in this game, coach. Sorry.
Oh my goodness! Did somebody actually give a damn?
I see flags all over the field. They're in the end zone right now with a bunch of guys around yapping at each other and getting all pissy. Something went down.
All right. Well, we'll check that out in the highlights.
All right. Sorry. Ticket prices.
That's okay. Tickets in Minnesota for the game on Vivid Seats as low as $160. Tickets for the Buccaneers. You know they're hosting the Saints. Buccaneers aren't that great, but they've got a nice place to play. Tickets as low as $66. Jets at Redskins. Guess.
$5. I bid $5, ooh, Bob.
You are low. It is tickets as low as $7 to go see Washington host the Jets.
Do I win both showcases?
No, you lose.
Oh, shoot.
You lose for that.
It's the quarterback, Rudolph, getting into it with... and he hit him in the head with his own helmet. Oh, my goodness. And someone just got kicked and punched in the knee. Oh my goodness. So Rudolph got sacked. He got pissy with number 95 of Cleveland. And next thing we know, there's a fight going on. This is amazing. Oh, I'm watching this replay. I'm sorry. This is amazing. He took off his helmet. Rudolph goes back after him. Smack him on the head with his own helmet. Oh, someone's going to get fined for that. 53 throwing punches. Guys are getting... Oh, yeah. The bench is clear. This is amazing. Oh, there's going to be so many suspensions coming out of this one. You haven't seen a good football fight like that in a while. Oh, no, Jesus. Oh, my goodness. He's going to get ejected for that one.
Generally, the NFL has a greater level of behavior, I guess. We'll put it as simple as.
I think they might end the game. If they don't end the game, they're stupid. There's 8 seconds left. It doesn't matter anymore.
No, it doesn't. All right.
Freddie Kitchens and Mike Tomlin are talking at midfield about all this.
Great. All right. Moving on.
Football.
Moving on.
Buffalo 6-3 travels to the 2-7 Miami Dolphins. This is gonna be another one of those low scoring games. I think the Bills are not as good as their record indicates. This is a case where maybe Josh Allen might have a good game, but this feels like another one of those, like, the Bills win by a few points, like taking the under.
Yeah, I feel like after, you know, the last week, last couple of weeks, the Bills need to come back strong, and that means they need to blow out the Dolphins minimum 2-touchdown difference in this one. If not, I want to see like a 30-10 game here. So that Buffalo is telling us they are legitimate. Yeah, are they?
You need to make a statement, Buffalo. You need to make a statement.
This has got to be a statement game. Step up, Bills, because God knows the Dolphins don't win any more games.
No. Yeah, they've blown it by winning two. Okay, what do we got? We've got 4-5 Jacksonville visiting the 5-4 Indianapolis Colts. Still bitter about the two, I don't think, by the way.
Well, I guess, I mean, part of it will depend on whether the Colts are playing Hilton and Brissett.
Hilton's not going to play. 100%. I can tell you right now, Hilton is not going to play. He's not ready.
So that knocks this one down. We've got Foles coming back and playing this week, which, I mean, who knows what he's going to look like. I think this is going to be somewhere between a snooze and a fart, and I would steer clear. But generally, I've steered clear of both of these teams this year anyway for fantasy purposes.
Mm-hmm. In a potentially sneaky good game, 5-4 Dallas visiting 3-5-1 Detroit.
This one's going to be fun. This is like definitely get your Dallas guys in there. And I think Detroit too. You know, we'll have to see what's up with Stafford because the dude's got a broken back. But They're not ruling him out for what is basically another lost season.
I can't see
if he plays. I think this one's got fantasy potential written all over it.
Mm-hmm. Just depends, yeah. But I mean, if Detroit trots out I don't even remember the guy's name that they trotted out to the backup quarterback, then it may not be as fun as we think.
Nope.
All right. 2-7 Atlanta, who surprised the heck out of everybody last week by knocking off New Orleans in a convincing fashion, traveled to the 5-4 Carolina Panthers. This one is going to be interesting. I don't know if Atlanta can do it again or not. Plus, I believe someone mentioned, isn't this their first outdoor game they're playing this year or something like that?
I mean, it might be. The Falcons jumped up last week. You know, surprised everybody with easily the upset of the season. That ain't going to happen this week. The Panthers, you know, they're also, as good as they've been, they're still just sitting at 5-4. They're in danger of sliding right out of the playoff picture with another loss. So I think the Panthers are going to come back hard. I think the Falcons will be lucky to get 2 touchdowns. Mm-hmm. But then if the Panthers get up early, McCaffrey scores 3, you know, we could see some classic garbage time Falcons. So, I mean, play your guys, I guess. But if you've got better options, I would look that way.
All right. This one should be very good. I'm looking forward to this one. 6-3 Houston travels to 7-2 Baltimore. Two of the best young quarterbacks in the game are going out in this one. And this is going to be one everybody should be watching.
Yeah, this should have been the primetime game. This is going to be fun. It's going to be exciting. The ball's going to be moving.
How do you not flex this game? Are we not flexing yet? Is that the thing? Like, why is Chicago sure. LA the primetime game? I guess we're not flexing yet or something, because this one should have been flexed into that spot.
Yeah, this is going to be the game of the week to watch, and I think you're right. Fantasy numbers are going to get put up. Mm-hmm. Outside of the quarterbacks and maybe DeAndre Hopkins, we don't know who's going to get those fantasy numbers, but
someone's getting.
If your league lets you play the Ravens tight end as a group, then you are set.
Did you see that spin move Lamar Jackson pulled off last week?
He's a video game come to life.
It's a cheat code. My goodness. And he threw. He had very good. His throw was very good last week too. He started out throwing, then he just, like, he had two passing touchdowns up to that point. All right, that's gonna be a great one to watch. I would love to see them repeat what they did a couple of Thursday nights ago. 3-6-1 Arizona going to face the 8-1 San Francisco 49ers. I really want Manny Sanders back for this one because I'm afraid that he was just starting to get such a good rapport going with Garoppolo. As soon as he left that Monday night game last week, San Francisco's offense went right into the tank. And can Arizona repeat what they did going on the road this time? I don't know if they can.
I don't know. I mean,
by the way, Cliff Kingsbury, I still hate your guts. But but you didn't get me this time. You got me before, but you didn't get me this time with David Johnson because I benched him. And I knew you were going to pull some shenanigans, and you gave freaking Kenyon Drake all the run and benched and gave like David Johnson like 6 touches. Like,
okay. To be fair though, did you see the clip going around on Twitter of David Johnson running quote unquote an end around sweep?
It was slow, wasn't it? Like someone said, it looked like he had a piano on his back.
Oh, it was terrible. Like it looked like he was in slow motion, and the rest of the league was at full speed. Mm. But yeah, we got to say Kyler Murray quietly putting up a really impressive rookie season. Mm-hmm. When they can get some more consistent tools around him, keep building that offense out for him. This guy, you know, I still worry about whether a guy as short as he is can make it in the league. But I mean, so far. He's doing well. Mm-hmm. Now you got to like what you've seen. Maybe not entirely from a fantasy perspective. He's had some good weeks, but not enough consistency. But, I mean, going forward, this is a guy you might actually be able to build your fantasy roster around.
For sure. And again, you're in Dynasty, and you should be Dynasty. You better be in Dynasty if you're listening to us. Absolutely. I'd be pretty happy with Kyler Murray. 8-1 New England, traveling to 5-4 Philadelphia. Philadelphia got back on track a little bit, but they run into the buzzsaw that might be the New England Patriots. So I'm kind of wondering, like, this feels like another one of those games where Carson Wentz is going to struggle and struggle big time.
Yeah, I mean, the narrative will be that it's revenge for 3 years ago or whatever it was, 2 years ago in the Super Bowl. It's not going to be that. You know, I think the Patriots are going to come out. They're going to look good. The Eagles, you know, the Eagles just haven't been the same this year. Whether it's DeSean Jackson being gone or that offense, just the parts aren't clicking. Mm. They haven't looked the same, and I don't see it getting any better this week. Mm-hmm. Personally, I've moved on from Carson Wentz in a lot of the leagues where I've had him in. And, you know, it's going to that, all right, get me, you know, a veteran guy that at least I can be a little more trusting in.
Mm-hmm. All right. 0-9 Cincinnati travels to Oakland to take on the 5-4 Raiders. The Raiders have been surprising this year. Cincinnati has not been surprising. They're terrible. I mean, Oakland should have a, like, if Josh Jacobs plays, then you start him because Cincinnati's bad. And yeah, I don't even know what else to say about this.
Yeah. If you're a Raiders fan, enjoy this game. If you're a Bengals fan, check out what LSU's doing. Because Joe Burrow is going to slide from being a Tiger to a Bengal next year. You know, the Andy Dalton era has come to an end when we talk about the veteran quarterbacks. Yep, the Andy Dalton era is over. Mm-hmm. It's going to be the Joe Burrow show. I mean, maybe Tua. I don't know. But it's, Bengals, you are playing for, you are in the driver's seat for that first overall pick and the best quarterback on the board. So start enjoying some college football. Burrow is fun.
I'll miss primetime Andy Dalton.
I know. He's, you know, he had his moments.
Primetime Andy Dalton was somewhere. Always terrible, though. But you knew what you were getting with him.
He was great to bet against. I will say this. I want to say Joe Burrow, one other note. Guy played in the SEC, has an almost 80% completion rate.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, that's why he's jumped way up the board this year. Overtake Justin Herbert and Tua as the top quarterback prospect.
Yeah, I can definitely see that. Speaking of taking the under, we got Chicago 4-5 going to face the 5-4 Los Angeles Rams, two teams that have quarterback questions, and their offenses have not been as advertised this year, and two defenses that can be good on a good day. Ooh, I mean, not one I want to watch for fantasy numbers.
Yeah, I think Sunday night I am going to – Well, I have just got Disney Plus, so I think instead of watching this turd of a game, I'm going to watch something there. Let's watch some classically bad 1970s Disney movies.
Seriously, are we not flexing at this point of the season? Like, there's no excuse for this game being in this spot still at this time. It's bothering me, irrationally bothering me, that this garbage football is going to be in primetime.
Anyway. Yep, I will say it again. I've been saying it every week. I will say it again. That team, the LA Rams, they got broke last year in the Super Bowl.
So
and it
broke.
Is over.
Oh, they yeah. Belichick destroyed them forever.
Yeah, and they're a team now that doesn't have the ability to get better. They're contracted out the wazoo. You know, they're spending big money on guys who aren't performing. That Todd Gurley contract is an albatross.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to, you know, now Jared Goff is no longer going to be on his rookie deal. He's going to be costing real money. That's going to be tough. The best thing you can be in the NFL is a team with a rookie quarterback. Look at the – all right, let's take this. Go to sidestep for a second. I don't know if Kyle Allen is the solution in Carolina. But if he's good enough, he's making $500,000 a year. You've got McCaffrey on a rookie deal. You've got DJ Moore and Curtis Samuel on rookie deals. You've got – Cam Newton that you can get rid of next year and open up $20 million in cap room. How would you like to be Carolina right now? That's a good-looking future from a salary cap perspective and from a talent perspective.
They're in a very good spot. And to contrast, the Los Angeles Rams are not in any way, shape, or form. Four guys that they could take it up their entire salary cap next year or something like that. And you got to sign Jalen Ramsey. So good luck with that. Finally, the game on Monday Night Football. Kansas City 6-4 traveling to the 4-6 Los Angeles Chargers. Wait, yes,
no,
San Diego Chargers.
No,
what?
This game is being played in Estadio Azteca in Mexico City.
I forgot about that part. Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness.
Assuming the field is playable.
No es bueno. No es bueno.
Ay caramba.
I will need many dos cerveza, por favor, after for this game, I'm afraid. And so will the Chargers, because Kansas City is probably going to whoop their butts.
Probably, but, I mean, Phil's going to come out chucking. You know, this is another one. Play all your guys. Play Eckler. Play Melvin Gordon. Play all six of your chief running backs. Put Darwin Sampson in there. This feels like one of those games where everybody's going to get something.
Who's Darwin Sampson? Don't really. Who's Darwin Sampson?
Isn't that his name? Darwin Thompson?
Darwin Thompson.
All right, well, whatever.
There's Darwin Sampson, and they cut his hair. No wonder he hasn't done well this year after all the preseason hype.
I didn't get suckered into any Darwin Sampson or Darwin Thompson.
Oh, I did. But he failed to be in the second round. What am I supposed to do?
All right, just FYI, Darwin Thompson, according to IMDb, is an actor best known for 2009's Incest Death Squad.
There is so much to unpack there.
Yeah.
Wait, some of our weirder listeners might have gotten a thrill from that, but you know who you are.
Yep. And I just want to point out, too, when we're running down the games of the week, on bye, the Chargers, the Seahawks, which is a lot of good fantasy production there, the Giants, and the Tennessee Titans. And on that, we're going to say goodbye for another week of the Fantasy Domination Podcast. You can get in touch with us at the FD Pod on Twitter or email fantasydominationpodcast@gmail.com. Folks, this has been a production of Harpoon Media, and we'll see you next week.
Built in, lock in, strap in. It's the Fantasy Domination Podcast.
All right, fantasy football freaks and fantasy football fanatics. We are back with another episode of the Fantasy Domination Podcast. I am your host, the coach, and I am here with my colleague, my nemesis, my fantasy football. I mean, the guy I think I've made the most fantasy football trades with, period. Rusty. Rusty, how are you doing tonight? You're back in town.
I am back in town, Coach. And what did they just do? Oh, they just missed him. So we're watching this Thursday night game, and it's another... We've had a good run, Coach, with some pretty nice Thursday night games. Well, as soon as you get Ben Roethlisberger-less Steelers and the Cleveland Browns and Thursday night, you know you're in for a terrible football game, and they have lived up to that billing. We just saw Mason Rudolph throw a terrible pick in the red zone, or in their defending red zone, whatever you want to call it. And Cleveland has returned to the three. They just missed Odell Beckham because Baker Mayfield is not a good quarterback tonight. And now they're running the ball. And, oh, look, there's Nick Chubb getting stuffed for a loss of 3 yards, just like they did against the Bills last week. So I don't know what the hell is wrong with the Browns and their short yardage, but I think we're going to see them screw it up again, Coach. Third down.
I would not be surprised. I mean,
why do I do this to myself, Coach? Why am I watching this terrible football?
I don't know. That game against Buffalo last week had some epic failures inside the goal line. They were practically in the end zone for 12 plays and could not get it across the line.
Hey, Coach, remember when Cleveland was supposed to be a Super Bowl contender?
Yeah, a lot of people offense? Were wrong about that.
How's that working out? It's not. Oh, may I feel in trouble. Oh, my goodness. How that? He actually got a touchdown, and it was all the tight end doing that. I think he caught the ball over the guy's back. So, Baker Mayfield, you just lucked yourself into a touchdown. He really isn't good, Coach.
No, I mean, what's great, though, is for all of us people who have shares of Nick Chubb, we're watching another game where he's not getting into the end zone.
Nope. And let's see. Yeah, he literally reaches over the defensive back and plucks it over his head. Yep. Pings it off his helmet, and he's got the touchdown. Look at this. Well, you can't see it because you don't have... Look, that is amazing. That is all the receiver. That is not Baker Mayfield because he threw it right at the Pittsburgh defender's helmet. All right.
Well, anyway, you know what? It's good somebody did something.
Yeah, enough about how terrible Baker Mayfield is. Let's get into this week's podcast, Coach. We got a lot of stuff to talk about, don't we?
We do. We do indeed.
Speaking of subpar quarterbacks.
Oh, where do you start? All right, I do want to go on one quick bit here because we're seeing the Steelers, not a good team. Not a good team with Mason Rudolph at the helm.
No.
Begs the question, are we going to see Big Ben come back next year, or is Pittsburgh going to have to really seriously consider their plans after Big Ben? Because I'll tell you right now, it's not Mason Rudolph, and if this team doesn't make the playoffs, they already traded away their first-round pick to get Minka Fitzpatrick, and they are going to miss out on a great first-round quarterback class. This could be, you know, the 2004 redux, in that we're looking at a bunch of teams going in like San Diego and Pittsburgh that could desperately use a quarterback for the future. Because that 2004 class is coming to the end. You know, Roethlisberger's nearly done. Rivers is getting to the end of the road. Eli's done as a Giant. If he wants to go warm the bench somewhere else next year, he's more than welcome to. And ironically, Matt Schaub's still out there kicking around. He wasn't the fourth quarterback taken, but he's the fourth one left standing.
I would play a song here to remember the 2004 quarterback class, but I do not want to run into the record companies suing us. So just imagine in your head something like In the Arms of an Angel by Sarah McLachlan, and just picture in your mind. And that's kind of what
I thought we were going to do. End of the Road by Boys to Men.
Oh, also a good choice. Also, another one we could have done. I thought you could say End of the Line by the Traveling Wilburys. All very good choices.
Well, I mean, not all of them.
We always give you options here on the Fantasy Domination Podcast.
That we do.
Speaking of options, Coach.
Why, you came at that one like a real pistol, Rusty. What do you want to talk about next?
Well, I don't know any other way to introduce this, but
Institutional racism is a bad thing.
All right, that's one way to bring it back. Indeed, as we speak, we have some very interesting developments with a certain quarterback who's drawn a lot of controversy, all of a sudden potentially coming back to the NFL. Let's talk about Colin Kaepernick and this mess of an NFL workout thing that they're trying to set up. I there are so many things going on with this that we have to unpack, Coach, besides the institutional racism, as you would mention. But we've got potentially 11 teams coming to see Colin Kaepernick work out with a workout that has been set up by the NFL, which came really out of nowhere. But there's a lot of things wrong with this workout. I mean, given the state of certain quarterbacks in the league, why I understand some of the reasons why teams don't want Colin Kaepernick, because quite honestly, is it worth the trouble of a guy who's that lightning rod for controversy and attention as your backup quarterback? That's why he doesn't have a job. If he was a good quarterback, he'd be in the NFL, but he's a mediocre quarterback who brings a lot of attention that teams don't want to deal with. But we have seen some terrible quarterbacks in the NFL this season and last season, so why the heck not at this point? But I don't really think the NFL is setting him up for success, Coach.
No, this has all the hallmarks of a contractual obligation
that we are going to put.
Well, we don't know the terms of his legal settlement with the league. It would not surprise me at all if this was part of, you know, some sort of legal settlement, because A, why would the NFL be hosting a player tryout or, you know, whatever we want to call it? This is something that teams do. Literally every team every Tuesday brings in free agents, works them out. Sometimes they sign them. Sometimes they keep their stupid kicker. You know, this is what happens every week on Tuesday in the NFL.
Oh, so we're going to see this workout happen this Tuesday for Colin Kaepernick then, is what I'm hearing.
Incorrect. Oh. It's happening on a Saturday when everybody who really cares about their team is focused on the next day's game.
Aren't teams also traveling for away games on Saturday in a lot of cases, Coach?
Yeah, the ones that are going to other cities to play are already there. plus, the league never does veteran tryouts for a single player in November in front of multiple teams. Again, every team in the NFL has had the opportunity to try out Colin Kaepernick if they wanted to. What this is telling me is it sure as hell smells like collusion that nobody wanted to even talk to him. So they're doing this little dog and pony show. And to make it worse, if you wanted to set somebody up for failure, is there anybody better right now that you would tap than Hugh Jackson to lead this?
Oh, no, there really isn't. Like, that is, if I wanted to make things hardest on a gentleman to have success in the NFL, I would give him Hugh Jackson, a man who is not a good football coach.
Yeah, like what are they going to do? You know, we're going to roll out and, all right, Colin, it's time for your workout. We thought, hey, let's get you Antonio Brown and Terrell Owens as your wide receivers to throw to. Oh, look, O.J. Simpson's going to take handoffs from you. Isn't this exciting? Look at the star power we've gathered here. Like, this feels as legitimate as Circus of the Stars. Battle of the Network Stars. Let's edit that out. This sounds as legitimate as Battle of the Network Stars as an athletic competition. It's a dated reference there, but you people know it.
I got it. I got it, Coach. Which probably shows my age.
There's not much you can say. This seems like it's set up. It feels like we're just checking the box here. Everything's good. Everything's fine. He's going to get his chance. And, is it going to happen? Is anything going to happen? I doubt it.
You're not even trying to be subtle, NFL. Like, I don't understand this. But let's take a look at the teams that are, the 11 teams that are committed to attend Colin Kaepernick's workout in Atlanta. All right. Are you ready for this list, Coach?
I am ready for this list of teams with desperate quarterbacking needs.
11 teams. Let's go through them 101. Arizona.
Nope.
Well, you got Kyler Murray. Maybe they want him to back him up. Atlanta.
Nope. All right, well, let me just say this. And I want to say this about Colin Kaepernick because it's the question I've had since all of this started with San Francisco letting him go. Is I've never heard him asked or answered the question. Are you willing to come in and be a backup? Because some guys just, they think they're starters. They're only going to be come in and be a starter. Fair enough. You know what? You're allowed to put whatever value on yourself that you want. But I've not heard anybody actually publicly ask him the question of, will you come in and be a backup to Matt Ryan? Will you come in and sit behind Kyler Murray? Do you want to come in, work out, collect a paycheck, probably never play? Is that better than not being in the NFL at all? Mm-hmm. I don't know. I mean, if I'm Colin Kaepernick, maybe that's not good enough, and that's totally fair. But I've never actually heard him ask that question or have the chance to answer it, and I would love to know what his response would be.
I thought I heard initially that he wanted to be a starter, but I think – at this point in his career, you gotta take the opportunity that comes up. This comes back to my point where if you take to be a backup, I think teams are scared of the attention they're gonna get for a backup quarterback and just decide he's not worth it. And that goes back to my theory. But at the same time, you've been out of the league for a couple of years. You kind of got to know that I need to give myself an opportunity to get back because you are one hit away from getting a starting gig in the NFL.
Yep.
And with the way the quarterbacks have gotten hurt and whatnot, even with the rules to protect them, I mean, one hit is all it takes, or one bad game. Ryan Fitzpatrick continues to get work in the NFL because the guys in front of him suck, or
Matt or whatever. Matt Schaub is still in the lead.
Matt Schaub, yes.
400 yards.
Matt Moore was a scout for the Miami Dolphins, and he started a couple of games for the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yep.
I mean,
you got to
give yourself an opportunity. You got to understand your situation. But the thing is, still, it comes back to I'm looking at these teams like Cleveland. I mean, Baker Mayfield's not good, but they have a lot invested in him. Denver. I mean, Denver could maybe use a guy like Colin Kaepernick. Detroit, with Matt Stafford's back right now. We saw what Detroit trotted out last week, and it was not good. Miami is a joke, although they're starting to get a little better right now. They've somehow lucked into a couple of wins. New England.
Miami was structured to be a joke. Yes. So
they're trying. They're not being subtle about trying to be bad, unlike the NFL, who's trying to be subtle about this Kaepernick tryout. I mean, come on. New England is intriguing. New England's, I don't know if this is Bill Belichick doing his voodoo garbage again, but I'm sure they're always looking for something. The New York Giants. I mean, you got Danny Dimes.
I mean, they got their guy.
Yeah, and Eli Manning's your backup, so I'm not really sure what's going on there. The New York Jets, you got Donald the New York Jets are just a mess right now. Tampa. I mean, yeah, you got Jameis Winston. That's a good play, potentially good place for him to go because Jameis Winston is one or two bad games away from being benched again, and of course the Washington Professional Football Team.
Yeah,
that's your list.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say that the absolute last team in the NFL that would sign Colin Kaepernick is Washington.
I would agree.
Yep.
We see eye to eye on that one. So, I mean,
we're not going to tell you why, but you might be able to figure it out on your own.
Oh, my goodness. Well, I mean, good luck with that, Colin Kaepernick. You're not being set up for success. But if you can overcome this and get your spot into a roster, I highly doubt it, given who they've given him to run this stupid Hugh Jackson. Come on. Seriously, was Marty Schottenheimer not available? Was Jerry Glanville still licking his wounds from the... Is he in the XFL now? I don't even
he
know.
Is, I believe he's,
oh, yeah,
in,
he's
the
in the
XFL.
XFL. So they couldn't get Jerry Glanville because he's in the XFL right now. I mean...
Speaking of the XFL, I think I've seen WWE matches that were less predictable and less scripted than this whole Colin Kaepernick situation.
Yeah,
exactly. And with that, folks, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to watch the end of this god-awful Steelers-Browns game, and we are going to come back and look ahead at some actual good games this weekend.
Just put us out of our misery, for God's sake.